At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
Whilst the TV show deals with the big news items, we'll be taking you through the smaller and sillier stories in the news this week.
Think of it like this. If the main show is 6-7, then we're a number two. Yeah. What an intro. Stunned silence for that intro.
I'm really upset.
Using the 6-7, that makes me upset as well.
Good.
I also don't think anyone's going to understand what that means.
Well, you know, as Lord Reith wanted in his vision for the BBC, we're educating as well as entertaining.
Quite.
That's what he wanted.
I mean, we haven't explained 6-7, but that's fine.
And we won't.
I don't think anyone can explain 6-7.
It's unexplainable.
If you don't know 6-7, just imagine the most annoying, inane thing you possibly can and just assume it's that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what 6-7 is.
And if you don't know what a number two is, you should go to your doctor. Because you should be regular with it, to be honest.
Mm. Jack Harris, in-house science man.
Yeah.
You should be regular with it, Jack Harris. Not even 30 seconds into the podcast.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, I haven't got news for you this Friday, Mike. What's going on?
Yeah.
Got cancelled?
No, don't worry. Put down your headline writers. It was Children in Need this week, so we always have a break for Children in Need.
Of course.
Because we can't be funny when children are in need.
Exactly.
And they're only in need for 1 week, to be fair. So.
Yeah.
They're fine the rest of the year.
They get sorted.
But it does mean we get a welcome down week. I was a bit sad we went on this week. There's quite a lot of good news.
So much stuff going on.
Good news.
I say good news. Good news makes it sound like good news. I mean, there were some spicy topics to talk about, which I'm sure we'll mop up next week. Yes, quite interesting. Trump potentially suing the BBC.
I was going to ask how Have I Got News would have dealt with that.
I think the show's got a long history of biting the hand that feeds it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think the BBC's always been very open to being scrutinised and mocked where it's due. And I think this would be no different.
This is something I wouldn't necessarily know as Stills researcher, but would our production team get a sort of three-line whip from the BBC when there's stories regarding the BBC? Or they leave us to it?
What's really good is they do leave us to it. I've never seen the BBC step in and say, you can't talk about this. And I think that's a good thing.
Mm.
I think it'll be quite good to be able to talk about it sort of openly on the show and not feel like, you know, a hand hovering over us.
Mm.
About to hook us off stage. Also, I mean, as we know, everyone likes to say, oh, how would news talk about it? Well, see, everyone's got different opinions. Ian, Paul, whoever's hosting, they will all have different views on that. So but I think it'll be interesting to see.
And still a week to go of news.
Yeah.
So anything can happen.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, that's not historically a good thing when it comes to the news. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen except Scotland qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah.
But anything else, literally anything else could happen. So yeah, so Hignofield will be back on TV this Friday. Slightly tricky, obviously, we don't want to take any limelight, we don't want to take any stories from it. So round two this week, we're going to try something a bit different. We've been struck this series by some of the crazy polls, surveys, studies that we've seen the papers cover over the past few months. So we thought we'd talk about some of those this week. So it's poll week. Are you guys excited?
I'm in poll position. And actually, I'm going to stop talking on the podcast because I've outdone myself. That's the best I can do.
Yeah.
No, but I love it. I love it when we have a poll or a ranking or a thing that says the Conservatives are really unpopular, because we do that graphic that goes on for a really long time with the Pick of the Pops music.
Yeah.
I find that really charming.
The things that Labour have got wrong as well, which is fun. Like in the Catherine Ryan episode recently, where it was like, things they've blamed for the bad economy, which is always fun.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. So in honour of that, Jack, what poll, survey or study have you got for us to absolutely pick over and disseminate?
This was a survey done for adults with a side hustle.
Is that a dance?
It sounds a lot worse than it is.
Do the side hustle.
Well, this is the thing. This is what actually intrigued me when I saw this headline. The headline was, a third of people are turning to quirky side hustles.
When we say quirky side hustle, are we talking extracurricular ways of making money outside of your job?
Mate, you've nailed it, but they're quirky. Now, the thing is, I wanted to know who's defining the quirkiness of these side hustles. And Tesco Mobile did a survey of 1,400 adults with a side hustle, and 29% of them considered, so they themselves considered their methods of earning extra money to be quirky.
This is a second pandemic. I think we need to close the borders.
Keep people in the homes.
Shut down the internet.
Yeah.
We don't know how it spreads, guys.
I think, Queenie, that's the opposite. I think people's quirky side hustles probably came from pandemic lockdowns. So I think we almost want to do the opposite. But Tesco Mobile, basically, they commissioned it because they wanted to highlight that they have mobile plans for business owners, which I think, as always on the show, gives us the green light to rip it apart. Essentially,
I feel like we need to know what the side hustles are before we can make an informed decision about their business credentials.
These are some of the ones I think are legit, right? That they listed. Okay. Paranormal tours. I would argue
that's a full-time job.
That's a legit way of making money.
That's entertainment.
And it's a little bit quirky.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's joining their side.
Custom jigsaws for businesses, which sounds like the most boring and not in any way quirky whatsoever.
Oh, wow.
That's like office quirky.
Yeah.
That's like an I Hate Mondays mug.
That's just a puzzle with someone's face on, right? That's nothing.
Yeah.
I think like taxidermy of humans is quirky, but I think puzzles...
Puzzles struggle to be quirky. The only way to be quirky is if you left a piece out of every box but didn't tell them.
Yeah.
Watch the company fall apart.
Everyone's blaming Anne from accounts and she hasn't even touched any of the side pieces. She's got that look about her that she'd lose a piece of puzzle, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Classic Anne. It's a classic Anne move. One that I thought was a legit, okay, being part of a police lineup. Now, the reason I pulled this one out of it, right, is like, you're basically like, do you look like a criminal, essentially?
I don't understand how that's a side hustle, unless it's like your side hustle is being a criminal and you're just bad at it.
So, mate, this is the thing, right? Because one of the statistics I want to brought up with specifically being part of a police lineup in the survey is 78% of people admitted it's completely different to their day jobs. So, like, if your side hustle is being part of a police lineup... and it isn't different to your day job, are you essentially just a criminal who is getting put in these things, but then at the same time in your spare time, you're acting like a criminal?
It's really interesting. I just never even occurred to me anyone being a police lineup. I would argue that's a quirky side hustle.
That's my list of legit ones. Less legit.
Wait, hang on, that's the legit ones?
That's the legit ones.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for this.
So I've got three levels. Legit, less legit, and bullshit.
Classic game. Yeah.
Love it.
Although I'm just telling you which ones they're less than guessing, but I think that's easier. Food art, right? Making food art. That was the only thing. There was no clarification in the article. It just said food art, which is that just getting a can of alphabet spaghetti and then just writing words at it? That seems to me the only way you could do food art.
Food art is whatever you want to do with food, because that's art, apparently.
Yeah,
but who's going to pay you for it?
Are we
claiming that, like, if you put the ketchup and the mustard on top of the hot dog in a particularly nice way as it comes across, it's going to be the thing that's
suddenly like you get like £10 in your Monzo every time out?
I think that was generous. I think that belongs in bullshit.
Okay. Creating custom jingles.
That is legit.
Interesting.
Should we do it now?
That's legit. Okay. Making miniature graveyards, which has Queenie, like, I was like, I'm going to say this, yes, and Queenie's going to run out of the room to find the job.
I did put both of my arms in the air. I did punch the air like I'd won an election.
Can I confess something?
Oh, wow.
Mike, no, you cannot question this. You cannot question this job.
I've made a mini graveyard.
Of course you have.
Now it's considerably less cool, I will say. Sorry.
Now, Mike, did anyone pay you to do that?
No. Did it on my own time.
What did you pay in?
Did you pay quite a lot of money for the paints and the board and all of the things that go in it as well?
No, because my wife listens to this podcast and my hobby is very cheap.
No, she knows about Warhammer. You're not off the hook.
No, I used like polystyrene and insulation foam, and I made a little graveyard for a Dungeons and Dragons one shot I was running with some cool guys.
Oh, excellent.
I think they all have side hustles, all your D&D
100%. Mates. Like, it's a huge thing online.
There's a huge number of losers in the world who would pay for that. So
genuinely, not losers, but are a huge number of cool people who would pay for that.
To be fair, growing up, I did have a miniature Helm's Deep.
That is really cool.
And that is the coolest thing I've ever owned.
That's quite cool.
Jack begrudgingly admits.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, now the bullshit ones. Professional breakup text writer, which is just paying someone to type something into ChatGPT, surely, because that's what you're doing.
Well,
you're
now it is, but it used to be a craft.
Yeah.
You used to have to be really perceptive.
Yeah.
I think there's one of those in every, like, sort of female friend group. I wouldn't know.
Interesting.
But I think there is.
Well, you wouldn't know because you haven't got a female friend group.
Yeah, but...
What a self-damning indictment. That is amazing for you to just go like, yeah.
But I'm assuming there is. I think there's one that's probably better at doing that than the rest.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. So maybe, are we saying this is not bullshit? We're saying this is more legit.
I call it a dying side hustle, like you said, because of ChatGPT.
There we go, dying side hustle.
Because AI is taking your job, yeah. Okay.
Rent-A-Friend, which is basically, that's an escort service, isn't it? That's just the name. That's a friendly name for... No, Rent-A-Friend is genuinely a thing where someone just comes with you and just hangs out with you, which
that's the bleakest thing I've ever heard. You have to pay someone to hang out with you.
It's really bleak.
So Jack, how have you found the service? Like, were they nice to you? Like, are you expected to pay for them when you go out, Jack, with Rent-A-Friend?
It's not as expensive as you think. And the first time was bleak. It's been less bleak since then.
You built a rapport. You've got a regular friend.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we'd call each other friends now. He's contractually obliged to call me a friend. So
I'm not laughing because this is actually quite sad. And I believe it.
Professional mourner at a funeral.
That's ground well trodden. Everyone knows about those.
Someone, right, who makes personalised love letters for special occasions, which I think, how incredibly romantic. I need to write a love letter to my one and only. Let's contract it out.
I feel like ChatGPT now, that's a dying industry, isn't it?
So you're talking about ChatGPT. We're talking about all these things that are going out. One of the questions they asked these people with side hustles was, what side hustles would you consider for the future?
Oh, nice.
Right, now you're thinking, okay, technology's moving forward. Like, we're going into a different world. Mm. Maybe there's climate change. Maybe a consideration for that. Right, so making art with AI makes sense.
Mm.
There we go. That's one of them. Making art with AI, which arguably I'd say is just using AI. It's not making art with AI. Their other two, they said, were writing quiz questions and designing novelty tea towels. Because...
Oh, wow.
What are the two things that are going to survive into this politically divisive, technologically advanced society that we're moving into? Pub quizzes,
yeah,
and having a bit of a laugh when you're doing the washing up. That's all you need.
Novelty details is mental.
That is...
And do they know that kids do that in like their last year of primary school?
I would say it doesn't bode well, yeah, if you're looking for people with successful side hustles. If they're on Tesco Mobile,
mate,
I would say barrel being scraped.
Tesco Mobile is the sign for you that these people are not as successful as they say they are.
Not the graveyard making or the, you know.
No. That's the problem. So I think we can safely say to all Tesco Mobile customers, don't give up your day job.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Jack. Queenie, what survey or poll have you got for us?
Essentially, you are more likely to be visited by a ghost if you are under 35.
Did you say statistically?
Well, according to this survey.
You're more likely to be visited by ghosts if you're under 30. Is that because you're more likely to be on drugs?
Ghosts just don't vibe with people who enjoy hosting themed dinner parties. Or like, I think all the ghosts just know what 6-7 means.
I think it's you're more likely to be gullible if you're under the age of 35, is the sentence.
You're more likely to have sort of an open and whimsical spirit.
Suggestible.
Sort of less crushed by the world. I'll get into it, but there aren't many sort of reasons behind these statistics.
What? There's not that many reasons behind paranormal activity stats.
Just weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd think they'd sort of get some facts behind
it. Is this according to a seance?
This is according to the National Folklore Survey.
Great survey.
Which was reported on in The Guardian, which really caught my eye. And as well as ghosts, it includes magical beings, possession, spells, psychics, angels and demons. More than a third of people believe in ghosts and supernatural beings. Should we test this survey in this room?
What, are we doing a seance?
How much do we all believe in those things?
I will say absolutely zero belief in any of those things from me.
I don't believe in ghosts, but I will run up the stairs when I have to turn all the downstairs lights off in a house.
Do you run up on all fours?
No, but I do take tiny little quick steps. And it feels like something's chasing me.
And don't like to leave your foot dangling over the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Do a survey of that.
When you said it also contained ghouls and
ghosties and go on,
little sprites. What do you mean it also contained?
They're using the sort of catch-all of ghosts as those sorts of things. So
got you.
If they were like,
right.
I don't believe in ghosts, but I believe in witches.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, if we're talking ghouls, then 100% I believe in ghouls. That's totally
we're talking ghouls. We've always been talking ghouls, Jack.
I don't believe in ghosts or ghouls. I do believe in vegans. Pretty sure I've seen one.
What? Because they're translucent and sort of move really slowly.
Yeah. And moan a lot.
And they like to stand really eerily at people's windows.
Yeah. Staring longingly at their roast dinner.
Yeah. Well, it also said that spiritual creatures tend to avoid those who live in the East Midlands, which so do most people, to be fair, but also dead people, apparently.
So if you're an OAP in Lincoln, then you're good.
Yeah.
You haven't got to worry about a poltergeist. Yeah.
You're fine.
Is there the most haunted place?
Mm. It doesn't say.
Well, the House of Lords, if you're looking for places where you find people close to the other side. Thank you for a suitably on-brand story there, Queenie. I have also got an underwhelming survey for you.
Thanks.
The ELTE University in Budapest, who've been running something called the Genius Dog Challenge. They're urging pet owners to check their dogs for signs of genius.
Are we that desperate? We're that desperate for some kind of form of intelligence.
Like, we need a cure for cancer now. We gotta look at the dogs. We've been underestimating them for too long.
Yeah.
As a species, we've hit rock bottom. We've asked the dolphins, the chimpanzees and the pigs, not interested. So we've had to turn to the dogs. Any ideas how you can work out if a dog's a genius?
No, because you can't.
Au contraire.
Because they're not.
If you give it your accounts and it does quite a good job of it.
Yeah, like you maybe could have taken a few more risks with what you claim back, but sure, do you know what? That's pretty much what, do you remember England manager Harry Redknapp? He had some financial question marks over his accounts, including one that was in his dog's name.
Maybe he's handed it over.
Then the dog made a right mess of it.
Yeah.
It's actually, you see how many words the dog can learn.
Now that is impressive.
Hello,
sausages.
My name is Fido.
Listen, I want to meet some of these genius talking dogs, please.
So basically what they've been doing is they're asking people to get their dogs to identify their toys. They teach the dogs the name of a toy and the dog has to go and fetch that toy when they say the name. So there's one of the dogs that's been labelled a genius. It's a 10-year-old border collie from Western Supermare called Bryn. And he's learned an estimated 150 toys. So his owner can say spiky ball, squeezy bone, and he'll go and get that toy and bring it back to him. And this is a sign of genius in dogs.
But I can do that. I can do that. And I'm not considered a genius yet.
Are you able to clean up after yourself, Queenie? Is the question I'd ask you.
Actually, no.
On the back of this, I was doing some research into this to see if I could find out any more information about genius dogs.
Mm.
What I did discover is a survey that tacks onto it from the summer. This is a survey which says 1 in 3 pet owners admit they would date a human AI version of their pet.
Why are we even asking these people these questions? That's our fault.
Yeah, who's our... What's
that's
sicko?
Not... No one's ever thought of asking that to anyone.
Yeah.
We don't want to know.
And that's genuinely, according to the survey, I think one of the questions was, if your pet was a human, would you be friends with them, do you think? And a lot of people said yes. And then they took it a step further. They reeled them in and they said, if you could turn it into an AI human with the, like, personality and brain of your pet, would you date them? 1 in 3 said yes.
There's just some absolute weirdo who's bang into some kind of like human pet relationship.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. So you'd date them, would you?
Every day we stray further from the light of God.
From the light of dog. According to the survey, Gen X and baby boomers were the most open to the idea of dating their pet's human version.
Of course they were, man.
And also 45% of cat owners like the idea compared to only 29% of dog owners, which I think makes a lot of sense.
It's because cats are sexier.
More sense of personal space and hygiene, I would say, as well.
That's going to be my take-home message.
What, that you can date your pet now? Good. Jack Harris, everyone.
Yeah, that's it.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for the Missing Words Round, where I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week, and you guys just need to fill in the missing words. First up, sarcasm and a love of drinking are what?
Sarcasm and a love of drinking are not appreciated at Alcoholics Anonymous.
That's very good.
Although love of drinking probably is appreciated a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's a prerequisite for going there.
But it's not encouraged.
Yeah, it's not encouraged.
It's not encouraged, yeah.
Sarcasm and a love of drinking are the best thing about the great and proud country of England.
Do you know what?
I was going to say something similar.
God.
Key criteria for British citizenship test.
You guys are really close, because it is. Sarcasm and a love of drinking are the things Brits who move abroad miss about the UK. This is according to a survey by GQ magazine of British celebrities who moved abroad. The list includes sarcasm, drinking culture and pubs, British humour and baked beans, although weirdly not paying the top rate of tax.
Is that the list of all the celebrities that moved abroad? Baked beans.
That's Sting's extra children. He's running out of names.
What's Sting's surname?
What's Sting's surname? And the police.
Baked beans and the police.
Baked beans and the police. Lad. Okay, next. Sex toys, a wedding dress, and a vial marked bubonic plague are what?
All items found in the Royal Lodge after Andrew's eviction.
Nice. The wedding dress. Love to see what he's going through
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I said, are all items sold in Aldi's middle aisle this month?
Yes. I would buy the bubonic plague from Aldi.
You know, if Aldi had bubonic plague, they'd have to spell the bubonic slightly differently so it didn't infringe copyright laws.
Yeah. The big plague.
Yeah.
Sex toys, a wedding dress, and a vial marked bubonic plague are what David Attenborough shortlisted when deciding on his Desert Island Discs luxury item.
Oh my God.
Excellent.
Sex toys, a wedding dress, and a vial marked bubonic plague are included in the title of Mike Raymond's future autobiography.
Do you know what? All correct answers. It's something me and David Attenborough have in common.
In love for wildlife, but also...
This is my great reveal. No, it's actually sex toys, a wedding dress, and a vial marked bubonic plague are some of the things landlords report finding in their properties. This is a survey of landlords in Daystar who have revealed the most unusual things left behind by tenants. Although, of course, they're not the most embarrassing thing to be found in a tenant's property. That would be Rachel Reeves' unsigned rental licence agreement. Next, a quarter of Brits say they would prefer to get what from a vending machine?
Umbrellas. I've often thought about that.
That's a good plan.
Think about that nearly every time it rains.
Hello, quirky side hustle.
Quirky side on Queenie's umbrella vending machine.
I dress as a vending machine.
Yeah, you are the physical vending machine. That would be the quirky element.
But you
yeah.
make the robot noises, like, yeah. and hold out the umbrella.
And then it gets, I hold one halfway down, so it's like it's getting stuck.
It would need a redesign, wouldn't it? An umbrella vending machine. It wouldn't work with the current vending machine design.
Is it a quarter of Brits say they would prefer to get all their political news from a vending machine?
I mean, probably.
Slam on us.
Yeah.
No, I mean, replacing Clive, I really like Clive Myrie, but I would probably be more likely to tune to the news if a vending machine was doing
it. If he was stuck in a vending machine.
Yeah, if he was stuck in a vending machine. I would.
That would be
and
sick.
And then you have this ongoing saga of has Clive got out of the vending machine?
Yeah.
He's just there in his normal position and his arm is in a vending machine, but they just don't address it.
I was imagining like a Marina Abramović performance art where he's like in a box.
Stuck in there.
He's like really close in.
I know you're joking, but it genuinely sounds better than watching The Traitors. So.
That's an unpopular opinion. You're going to get killed.
What, Clive Myrie in a vending
celebrity
machine?
Celebrity vending machine. 12 celebrities stuck in vending machines. Who will get out first?
A quarter of Brits say they would prefer to get their arms freed from a vending machine.
Yeah.
It's not just Clive who's stuck.
A quarter of Brits are stuck in a vending machine.
Honestly, that's the reason Emerald's not here.
She's stuck in a vending machine.
She couldn't free herself from the vending machine.
That is up there in headlines. A quarter of Brits are stuck in a vending machine with... You're more likely to see a ghost if you're under 35.
And the mainstream media are not talking about this issue, and they refuse to, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's woke.
A quarter of Brits say they would prefer to get their medical advice from a vending machine.
I mean, I think that would be higher than a quarter, wouldn't it?
It just keeps on telling you to get more B12.
Shit.
You're like, my arm's been ripped off by a vending machine. Good thing there's a vending machine that tells me health advice. Right next door.
And the only way I can do it is by sticking my other arm inside it, apparently.
Yeah. And it's like, you need more B12.
All really good answers, but unfortunately, so close. It's a quarter of Brits say they would prefer to get their dinner from a vending machine.
No, that's sad.
It's really bleak. And according to researchers, that number goes up to half of all Brits if you only include Gen Z. So half of Gen Z polled would rather get their dinner from a vending machine.
Sorry, I'm getting my suit back on as Gen Z's lawyer.
Yeah.
I dispute that claim on behalf of my generation.
I mean, I dispute it because I'll tell you why. This is in accordance to a survey by that well-known reputable source, Skyscanner. A spokesperson for the company said, and this is a genuine quote, "Vending machines have proved to be a much-loved style of eating."
Wait. Skyscanner have done this because they're doing it at airports and like sometimes you have to get something for a vending machine.
I think so. I think they've asked bored people in queues waiting for planes or waiting for delayed flights. Mm. But apparently they said when offered a hot meal, a hot home-cooked meal or dinner from a vending machine, a quarter said they'd rather eat from a vending machine. So
they don't want to go home because it's getting visited by ghosts the whole time. So they have to stay outside and go to vending machines to get their dinner.
And finally, new research suggests there's no truth to the well-known phrase, what?
Smash the gangs.
Mm.
Or like stop the boats for balance.
Either or.
Either or.
There's definitely no truth to either of those.
No difference.
Is it new research suggests there's no truth to well-known phrase, the sun shines out of his ass?
Wow.
I feel sorry for the scientists confirming that. But
that's a lot of research.
Is it new research suggests there's no truth to well-known phrase, I'm going to sue you for $1 billion?
Yeah, zing.
I want that to be my well-known phrase. Just anything goes wrong in life, I'm going to sue you for $1 billion.
You can just make it your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New research suggests there's no truth to well-known phrase, it's not you, it's me. It is always them.
Nice.
That was so deep. Deep from within your soul.
No truth to well-known phrase, built like a brick shithouse. Those people, they're not plumbed in, they haven't got a seat on them.
There's no foundations.
It's just not
true. Yeah. This is what scientists and researchers should be focusing on, all the things you just said, Jack, not can you date your dog.
This should have government funding.
Yeah.
If they're listening, government funding to this.
No, the answer is new research suggests that there's no truth to the well-known phrase, you're not you when you're hungry.
We've been lied to.
Yeah. The concept of being hangry does not exist. A new study published by the American Psychological Association has found that being hungry has no effect on the brain's ability to function, which explains why all that weight loss has had no effect on Robert Jenrick's mental capacity.
That is utter horseshit.
That's horse. That is
utter.
You're joking.
Utter.
I think that makes sense.
Claptrap. That is.
No?
No.
I quite like knowing that hangry's not real.
Because I've seen enough Snickers adverts to have been brainwashed into thinking that you're an old woman and then you're a tough man.
I've been on the end of enough siblings and partners.
Mm.
Absolute.
Red-eyed rage.
Anger and ire at me for what seems like no reason.
What the survey's saying is it's not saying people don't get angry. It's just saying they keep their mental faculty. So basically, they get angry. They've got the power to stop it. But something about you, Jack, enrages them so much that they just let go.
Yeah, fair.
Not something I've ever experienced with you, obviously.
My rent-a-friend guy frequently gets annoyed with me.
We posted Dismissing Word Round on our social media channels. And congratulations to Felix, a full-time icon on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, new research suggests that there's no truth to the well-known phrase, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I feel strongly about that. Waiting for taxi drivers or Jack.
Listen, it's fair enough. I was late to this podcast, and whilst I was getting ready, I said, I'll be there in 2 minutes. It wasn't 2 minutes.
No.
It was 4 minutes.
I mean, it was 9 minutes.
And I can only apologise.
But see, you can't even...
It was 9 minutes, but it was 4 minutes after I said I was going to be 2 minutes.
4 plus 2 is...
It really feels like when a politician gets cross-examined by a sort of like select committee.
Yeah, very true.
And I feel vindicated with that answer now. So well done, Felix, the full-time icon. Follow Have I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our Missing Words round where we post another one next Monday.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with 2 T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Bye.
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 I need to go and see Mike's miniature graveyard.
You're going to take your renter friend?
Yeah.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
You did promise me you'd come back from the Antarctic tall and blonde.
And skinny.
The Coldest Shift, an Antarctic adventure presented by Dr. Rachel Varnum.
We need to be the forerunners in making sure that we keep the Antarctic the only continent without COVID.
We can perform small operations here.
How many nurses are going with you? None. Are you taking a dentist? No, that's me as well. Are you taking a physio? No, that's me. So all of the things that you have in a hospital, we've had training on, essentially.
Oh, Rachel, why would you do that as a medic? It's ridiculous.
So here's a little story about the journey on the James Clark Ross.
The Coldest Shift. Available now on all podcast platforms.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.